Let's turn to Psalm 78, please. Psalm 78. Let me talk to you about my greatest fear. My greatest fear. I know that we should not fear, all right? God has not given us a spirit of fear, right? But of power and of a sound mind. But, come on, let's just face it. We all have fears, right? And my greatest fear is that the Christian heritage that got started with my wife and I would stop at my children. It's my greatest fear. And here, Asaph, Psalm of Asaph in Psalm 78, I think he gives us clues and advice on how we can pass this faith on to the generation to come. The Bible does say that train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. He shall not. So it is a promise from God's Word, right? It is. It's a promise from God's Word that if we train up our children in the way that they should go, that they will not depart from what we have taught them, right? It's a promise from the Bible. They shall not depart from it. So there must be a way as to train them right. There must be a way to show them that, hey, this life that maybe mommy and daddy have started because of what Christ did on the cross, maybe it is worth it to keep on going. And maybe it is worth it to pass it on to our children after that. And Asaph, I think in Psalm 78, really gives us, I think, one of the keys to pass it on, to pass on to the next generation. So the message tonight is the generation to come. Let's pray. Father, oh Lord, we do need you every day. And Father, we need to enter in your presence with thanksgiving and into your court with praise. And Father, I think we have done that so far with the music and the singing, Father. And Lord, we are in need to hear from thy word tonight, Father. We are needy people, and we need thy word to help us walk, to help us live this life, Father, to the fullest. And Lord, our time on earth is so short. Help us to make the most out of it, Father. And God, tonight as we look at Psalm 78, Lord, teach us, please, on how we need to raise and train up the next generation, Father. Because I don't want the Christian heritage that got started with my wife and I to stop at my children. I want it to go on and on and on. But please, Father, may the preaching of your word be done in not in words only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' precious name, I pray, amen. I don't want it to stop. I don't want it to stop. And those old churches that you saw on the video is a testimony to what it does when the passing on stops. Because there used to be people in those churches. There used to be a preacher there preaching the gospel. There used to be faithful members in those churches, but it has stopped. It has died out. Why? Well, the Christian heritage stopped at one point. I don't want that to happen. This is really, honestly, my greatest fear. And how can I pass this faith on to my children? And how can they pass it on to their children as well? So that this faith that we've received will be will be ongoing until the Lord Jesus comes back. Look at Psalm 78, verse 1. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. You know what we need to do? The first thing, we need to talk to our children about spiritual things. It just starts there. I mean, usually we are really good to talk and talk and talk about so many different things, right? I mean, sports, politics, the Masters right now. We can talk about so many things. And we usually live just a little time to talk about God. Talk about God's Word. Talk about what He has done. Here He says, I will open my mouth. Well, let's open our mouth to our children. Let's open our mouth to this next generation that is coming so that they might hear, so that they might know who God is, what God is all about, what is this Christian faith all about. Let us open our mouth. Let us speak of it boldly. Let us speak of it with excitement. Let us speak of it like we mean it, like we are really born again Christian and we're excited about the things of God. Let us open our mouth. He says, we will not hide them from their children. Verse 4. We will not hide them. You know, when we're not speaking about the things of God to our children or to the other generation, we are hiding God. We are hiding Him. We are putting Him behind something else, and He doesn't have the preeminence. We need to speak to our children about godly things, biblical things, real things, the things of God. Life is so short, right? I mean, James says that it's like a vapor, right? It's there for a while, and then it just vanishes away. If you were to put a line on eternity, and you would have your life, which the lifespan now is about, what, 80 years old? So if you were to put that 80-year-old line on the eternity timeline, I mean, it would be only but a little scratch on the line. And yet, on this little scratch, oftentimes, we're doing things for ourselves. We're doing things that pleases us. We're doing things that are going to make us be better in the future for us. And we're not taking the time to teach our children, to open our mouth to the next generation. When we get to heaven and we're going to go through the Bema seat, I wonder what He's going to say if we've talked to our children enough. Maybe He'll say, why didn't you talk about me to your son? Why, when there was this event happening in your life, why didn't you take the time to teach your daughter a biblical lesson on it? No, instead, you got mad. You decided that was it. Let's get in the room. Instead of teaching our children. He says, open your mouth. We will not hide them from their children. And then He says, showing to the generation to come. Here's what we need to show. The praises of the Lord. You know what? Our children need to hear us praise God. They need to hear us brag on God. They need to hear us say, my God has done an amazing thing today, son. My God has done something great today, my daughter. I mean, I was at work and it wasn't going really good, and someone came along and says, and encouraged me. That was God sending someone to encourage me, son. Isn't God great? Isn't God always good, son? Showing forth the praise, praising God, just extolling Him, talk about Him, about who He is. Say, son, my God is so great. My God is so great that one time He opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israelite to go through. Not only that, son, you know what He did? They went on dry ground. And you know what, son? When they got to the other side, the army was coming after them. And then God, my God, the God that we serve, He closed up the Red Sea and they were all annihilated, son. Our God is the Almighty God. Our children need to hear that. Oftentimes, we might praise God, but we're going to do it silently in our closet. Now, it's great to praise God in the closet, okay? And we should. In fact, I think we should do it more. But Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, right, they prayed and they what? They sang praises to God. And what struck me is, and all the prisoners heard them. I mean, it wasn't a silent prayer. It wasn't silent praise. It was out loud so all the prisoners could hear Paul and Silas praising God, bragging on Him, praying to their God because He was real. How many times do we do that? How many times do we praise God out loud that our children can hear it? That our family can witness us praising God for who He is. Showing the praises of God and His strength. And His strength. They need to hear us brag on God. When we are down, we say, my God will lift us up. Son, daughter, we're in a difficult financial situation now, but my God, He owns the cattle on the thousand hill. Don't worry, it's all going to be okay because we have God as our shepherd. He provides for our needs. Don't you worry. They need to hear the strength of God. I mean, when we are in the valley and nothing goes well, and it seems like everything beside us is falling apart and around us, maybe your health is not doing good. Maybe you don't have a job now and you really need this job. Maybe you have a tough family situation. You can always, always, always go to God and say, God, you're all strength. God, you are almighty. God, you can do all things. You can do everything, Father, because you are the almighty God. And guess what? We need to show it to our children. So that when they struggle later, when they're having a hard time later, because, hey, it's going to happen. We all go through hard times. And we all go through struggle. When they go through that, they will say, hey, I remember Mom and Dad when it wasn't going really good, when we had trouble making ends meet, when in the ministry it was tough, when people were against Mommy and Daddy. I remember what they did. I remember that they prayed to God. I remember that they bragged on God. I remember that they praised Him for what they had and for what He is going to do. I remember that. And now that I'm going through this hard time, through this struggle, I'll do the same because my mom and dad showed me that God is all strength and that my God deserves praises. Showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He had done. My children need to know how mommy and daddy got saved. They need to know it. They need to know that mommy and daddy were not part of the family of God at one time. They need to know that mommy and daddy were rebellious to God at one point. They need to know that mommy and daddy were not doing the right thing at one point. But then their grandmother gave us a church invitation. And never underestimate an invitation. When we got saved, they passed out thousands after thousands after thousands flyer. And my wife and I were the only two showing up. And people thought this activity is a complete bust. But hey, I mean, this is why we're here. Someone planted. Someone watered. And praise God, He gave the increase. Amen? So never underestimate a track, a church invitation, an Easter invitation. Never, ever underestimate that. You never know what God is going to do. But my children, they need to know that their grandmother gave us that invitation. And that is partly because of her that mommy and daddy heard the gospel. Not only that, but it's because our pastor decided to obey God. Not only that, but it was also because the pastor that was preaching, he was from Pensacola. He didn't only have a sports activity. There was some preaching time. They need to know that he preached the Bible, how that Christ died for my sin, took my place, and then God raised him up so he gave us the victory. Amen? And if we would only trust on Him, He would give us eternal life, give us a new life, give us a better life, a more abundant life. Amen. And a home in heaven, because, hey, if it wasn't true, He said He wouldn't even have told me. Amen? Ain't that something? Think about this. If it wasn't true, He would have told me. But indeed, it's true. He told me in His book, His wonderful works. We were in Ocala. How do you say that? Ocala? Anyways. O-C-A-L-A, all right? L-L-A, anyway. So we were there. We were at a restaurant there, driving down, and talked to a man. And then he asked me, what are you doing? What are you doing here? I said, well, we're missionaries, and we're playing a church up in Quebec. And he said, all right, cool. And then we got done eating, went back to our car, and this car pulls up right beside us. And he said, this is the same guy. He says, what did you say you were doing again? And I said, well, we're missionaries playing a church in Quebec. I said, all right, that's what I thought you said. And he hands us some money. We stopped, right? We say, kids, see this? This is the hand of God. This is God using this man to help us in the ministry. So we stopped and we had a little praising time, amen. Hey, a little bragging God time. I want my children to know that God is real, right? They need to know that our God is not, He's not fake, right? He's not someone that we don't know. In fact, I know my God. I know Him quite well, and I'd like to know Him a little better. And we can know Him better and better. Amen. But they need to see it. You might not have children. You might have grandchildren now. You might not have children, but you might have nieces and nephews. You might not have children, but hey, there's a lot of young people here that need to hear God's people praise, brag, and worship God. And tell them of what God has done in their life. I don't know what God has done in your life, but I know God has done something great in here. Amen? And I'm sure he has done miracles, because nothing happens, nothing like this happened without the hand of God. And the next generation, they need to know that. They need to know that the hand of God was in all this. That the hand of God was in your salvation. That the hand of God was in your healing when you were sick. That the hand of God delivered you from a tough situation. That the hand of God restored a relationship that was broken. That the hand of God is in everything that we do. In all our life, they need to know that. I mean, I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed at God's Word. Right? I mean, God's Word is amazing. It is. I'm still amazed that we can come to church and worship Him. I'm still amazed that I can go to my God personally. Right? When I was a Catholic, the way to go to God was to the priest. And when I had sins that need to be confessed, I had to go in a little confessional booth. The priest was on one side, and then you come in on the other side, and then he slides in his little window, and he says, "Son, what have you done?" And then you would tell him your sins, what wrongs you've done. And then he would speak to God for you, and then he would give you things that you needed to do in order to be cleaned or washed from your sins. Most of the time, I would never do them. I would only go because my parents told me to go, and I would never do them. They would have done nothing for me anyway, now that I know, but at that time, I really didn't know. But now, I'm still amazed that I can get down on my knees, and I can talk to the God of the universe, the God that created everything, the God that sent His Son to die at my place, the God that's given me a more abundant life, this same God that has given me family, a beautiful wife, and a home in heaven to come, and cities to reign over in the millennium, amen? Same God, I can go to Him, I can talk to Him. And He talks to me in His Word and through His Holy Spirit. It is amazing. I'm still amazed by that. I'm still amazed at His love. I'm still amazed that God loved me even though I transgressed against His laws, even though I blaspheme His holy name. Even though I've done so many wicked things in my life, He said that He demonstrated, He commended His love toward me, and that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. Amen. I mean, us, we would be like in verse 7. In verse 7 of Romans 5:8, it says that we might die for a righteous man. I believe your pastor is a righteous man. And I believe many of you, maybe all of you, would die for your pastor. But then it says, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. So there might be a slight possibility that you would die just for a good man, just for a good person. He's not righteous, maybe, but he's genuinely good. Maybe you would die for a man like that. And then it says, my two favorite words in the whole Bible, but God commended His love toward me in that while I was a bad man, a bad person, He died for me. I would never die for a bad person. In fact, we have a neighbor. And he's a bad neighbor. Bad neighbor. He's done something to my family. He pulled out all of our cucumbers from our garden. Man. But really, I really thought about this. Would I die for a man like that? Why? Insulted my wife? Why would I die for him? But Christ did. Amen. I would never die for him. I would die for righteous men. I would die for for a good man, but for a bad man, never. But I'm still amazed that my Jesus died for me when I was bad, when I was mean toward Him. He died for me. And our children, they need to know that. It is commended that we should teach our children God's law. Not only God's law, but God's works. And usually we're pretty good at teaching our kids the Word of God. What about the works of God? I think we need to improve on that. I certainly need to improve on teaching the works of God to my children. One last thing. I just want to show you one last thing. Look at verse 7. Verse 6, and we'll move on to verse 7. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So it's an ever ongoing teaching. Why? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandment. As parents, we're usually good in setting up our children to hope in everything but God. We make them to hope in education. We make them to hope in sports. We make them to hope in financial security. But what about setting them up to hope in God? Because He's the God of all hope. In fact, He is the only hope that we have. Amen. We need to do that to our children. So, Asaph, I wonder, all right, and this is some of the things that I think about, all right. When Joshua and the children of Israel passed through the Jordan River, God said to Joshua to take 12 men, to take 12 stones from where the priests were standing in the middle of Jordan, to bring them out and to set them where they would set camp. That's what Joshua did. He told 12 men, took 12 stones, and they set them up when they passed on the Jordan. It was to be a memorial so that when they would bring their children there and that they would ask, what means these stones? Then the parents could say what God had done for them at that time. You know what Joshua did as well? And this wasn't a commandment from God. He did it by himself. He took 12 stones and he set them in the middle of the Jordan. Nobody can see them. I wonder if Asaph ever brought his children there to teach them what God had done at that time. This is another thing that I just wonder about. I wonder about that. I wonder if we took our children to that place as well. That place where God has done a miracle or miracles in our life so that they might not forget the works of God. I don't want them to forget. I don't want them to stop. The generation to come might know them. Let's pray. Father, Lord, You're so good to us. Father, indeed, your greatness is truly unsearchable. And Father, You are worthy to be praised and to receive honor and glory. And Lord, even with our lives, we need to realize that You're everything for us. And that, Father, our children need to know You. And their children need to know You. Know Your Word. Know about Your works, Father. You said in Your Word that if we would train our children in the way they should go, they should not depart out of it, Father. Please help us to set up our children to hope in God. Oh, Father, please, we do need your mighty help. And thank you for the Word of God that teaches us, that helps us. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name I pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.